Blog Talk Radio.
Stand by. Leanne?
Hi, Gail.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. Thank you so much. I apologize for getting that wrong time down. Most of the time I've been doing this between 6 and 7:30 in the morning, and there were like a couple of people who had children that needed to do it at 6 or 7:30 at night. And I think because were so many around me, and I was thinking about your kids, I wrote it down as, p.m. instead of a.m.
Oh, so yeah, no worries at all. It totally works.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was really nice. We had Helen and Phoebe and Phoebe's kids over on Thursday, and then we hung out with my family on Friday. So it was all good. How about yours?
It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. Thursday we thought...
Did you have all those kids?
Well, not on Thursday. On Thursday we had a good night's sleep, and we had, cooked, and we were prepared to do kind of progressive dinner between three different families' homes, and that were, between Cerritos, Pomona, and Sherman Oaks.
Oh, and my goodness.
We dropped off some food in Cerritos. We got to my mom's house in Pomona, and I'll send you a picture my sister took of us around 4 o'clock, and we didn't wake up until 9. And we were like, where is everybody? I was on one sofa with laying at Elijah's feet, and Mark was on another sofa, and Bella's head was in his lap. And we got up, and everybody was gone. The food was packed up and put away. And we were like, what happened? And they're like, you guys were knocked out. So we were like, I guess that's crap. And then the next 3 days, Friday through Sunday, they were all over here, and that was, that was awesome. So you felt what?
Oh, I felt like it was really full too. It was really full of family and friends. It was all good.
It was all good. Yeah, it's all good.
Yes.
Well, let's open in prayer, and then I'll, just kind of give you some background on what I'm doing and where I'm at, and what we can do next. I'm trying to pull out the email I sent to you. One second. There it is. How's Nathan doing?
Oh, he's doing okay. He's doing okay. Yeah, he's got a lot of work on his plate, but he's managing okay.
Does he have a choice between staying there next year, or does it get better each year, or does the move?
He just landed there this September, and I don't know if I told you, but it's just really not a good fit for him, and he's not real happy there. So we've been praying for him to be released, but it seems near impossible because you can't transfer schools every year. You can only do it once every 3 years, so that seemed kind of hopeless. But we've been really praying, and he got word that there's a job opening up in the district And a friend of his is trying to get him in there. So if that works out, that'd be perfect for him. If that job is having to do with media, and his teaching background would come in really handy. So we're hoping that maybe it'll happen sometime soon, like in the next few weeks, so that so that he can move. Yeah, I know. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but we're kind of really praying for it to happen.
And how about the house situation? Have you guys started looking yet?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
It's one of those. All right. I know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys doing okay?
Yeah, let's take it to the Lord. We'll just take it together.
Okay.
He has it. All right, thank you so much for all the reasons that Leanne and I are able to give you thanks. Thank you so much for each of her children and her husband and her family and her life. Lord, thank you so much for her availability as a friend and just how she is so kind and so wise and so loving and available to many, many people. I pray that her needs are being met as well as she cares for and meets the needs of so many others. Lord, thank you for how you've answered prayers before for Nathan and his job, and we thank you that we can come before your throne and bring what seems impossible into the hands of the great creator of all possibilities, and that's you, Father. We just ask you to open doors in ways that are unexplainable other than the power of prayer and faith in you, and that this job at the district and that you would do something there now that it's been brought to his attention that would just reveal an answer to changing the circumstance from where he is right now to a better fit. So I pray again, I praise you for the beautiful home that you have waiting for the Peralta family. I praise you for how you're going to provide it. I praise you for just all the excitement of being able to run through those doors and to be in awe the day that they get the keys and just be able to look back with Leanne and say, we knew it. We knew that he would do it and that that's you, Lord. And we know it because we're asking you now in faith. And our faith is the evidence. It is the substance of the very thing that we know will happen for them. That that's your will and it's in your way. And we thank you for your perfect divine timing as you put every piece in place to move them into that home. Thank you for this time. We ask for your Holy Spirit to anoint this conversation, that you'll show up in a way that blesses others as they read the words from the pages of the book that's being created. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank you. So what's happening is we're recording this, but it's private. No one else will hear it except for the lady that's going to transcribe it. And right now, the lady that I'm working with is in Argentina, and her name is Karen. She's a virtual assistant. So actually, I'm saying hi to Karen. I'm doing a shout-out to Karen because I'm really appreciative of her talents and her skills so that I can get this done. Can you hear that tapping in the background?
Yes.
Okay, let me close the door. That's Dutch walking in the mail.
Okay.
He somehow got out and got in, and that's him walking around looking for me. What I'm needing to do, I've had several projects that have been open that I just need closure with. Some of them are things that seem to be outside of beyond my control and ability, but they've been such long journeys in a walk of faith and just perseverance. And then others have been a combination of just real life justifiable circumstances, and probably mixed in there in great proportion are just excuses. you know, not to finish. And so a few months ago, actually a couple months ago, it's been a few weeks now, I was really just pouring out my heart to the Lord and asking Him to bring closure to some of these things that are beginning to clutter my thoughts and my and just to bring closure to them, you know, just to clear out the space for them to be done. I think that what also was beginning to happen was I was starting to feel kind of low-grade levels of discouragement with some of them. And a sense of, you know, a periodic sense of not hopelessness, but such puzzlement that, you know, I just felt like, man, is this baby ever going to get birthed? And then perhaps, you know, in some ways, you know, a fear of disappointment mixed in there as well. When you've been carrying something around or trying to get something done for a long time, just all the circumstances and range of emotions of will this happen. And so after praying about that, I it's not unusual for me to get what I call these 3 a.m. wake-up calls from God. I pray and He just speaks to me, and I used to not recognize it that way, and I would just be kind of frustrated that I woke up in the middle of the night and I'd want to go back to sleep. And then I started to embrace it as the Lord just kind of just tapping me on the shoulder and whispering into my thoughts in the quiet there and give me direction and clarity, and things would come together almost like a Rubik's Cube, like with such certainty and, again, clarity, that I would be refreshed and I would be honored that, wow, I'm glad I didn't fight that urge to complain and want to go back to sleep. So, recently I had one of those wake-up calls after that prayer, and it was finished the book. And I needed help prioritizing and identifying which of these, you know, unfinished projects I could do and what steps I could take. And it was just as clear as you and I talking now, Him saying, finish the book. And so what I have are journals and book notes and articles from many, many years. And I ended up reaching out to a book coach that I had previously worked with. And I'd worked with actually a couple of them over at different times and varying degrees of progress. And this time this one lady who I really enjoyed working with and seemed like she could pull more out of me and guide me. So I reached out to her, it had been a couple years, see if she remembered me and if she was available. And not only did she remember me, she also happened to be available. And she is a believer.
Great.
And so so what we did was it was a bit overwhelming with so much information and me trying to figure out where to begin. So I shared with her, we picked up, you know, where we left off, and then I updated her on some additional writings, and it turns out there's about 7 or 8 books that I need to work on. So we're starting with this first one, which had the most material and seemed to be flowing the most naturally. And it's really an excerpt of a sort of autobiography of faith, autobiography of my journey of faith, and different lessons learned from different real-life experiences along this faith journey. And so the way that it's formatted, it looks like we have, I'll have about 20 chapters. And with this conversation with you, I'm in, you know, among one of the last 3 chapters of the book. And so I have a good, you know, 14 to 17 that are pretty solid. And the parts that I need to get done are to tell the stories that go with the theme of the chapter. And I find that it's easier for me to, not easier, but that more comes out when I'm in conversation about the story than if I'm just trying to recall it when I'm writing it. The other parts that I've written, there are parts that come out easier written. But this part, which is a key part of the story, if I'm in conversation with someone I trust, then I can open up and share, you know, I recall more. So the notes that I sent over to you at the top, those were different stories that I had made, different experiences that I had made reference to in previous conversations or with Melanie. And we wanted to make sure I told the whole stories associated with those. So some of these have been done. The Trayvon Martin White House one, that's been done. The Noah's Ark experience, that's been done. The Sacramento B of E, that one's, I'm just looking at this because I sent this over to you yesterday before I did some more of these. The McDonald's one has been done. KCCD has been done. And then if you scroll down, like under Nogales Fish and Loaves, you'll see a reference like to trust and transparency, your life within, how you rose to this. And then you'll see a chapter title called The Voice of Faith. And then underneath
the voice of
that,
faith. Uh-huh.
You'll see some different story themes or promptings. These were examples from my devotional time of things that stood out during that particular devotion when I was writing this chapter on the voice of faith and faith journey. So we don't have to, there's no mandate to stay with these notes or these particular topics. What it's really for referencing is kind of like a jumping off point into a conversation with you, Leanne. But
okay.
Another way we can approach this, which has been extremely effective, has been, you know, maybe there's something that the Lord has, you know, that he's showing you or saying to you, or there's a prompting or a question or a curiosity about my life that you're interested in or have been curious about, and you can just ask me the question, and then we just go from there. And then what seems to happen when I have these notes on the screen or you have them in front of you is from within that conversation, other things come up just by glancing over at these notes periodically. So there's no hard, fast rule to this. It's really you and I as friends and just sisters, you know, being able to have a conversation.
Yeah, I would love to hear your stories, Gail. I'm sure there are lots of them, and I know that your book will encourage a lot of people. So thank you for even considering me and even, you know, yeah, considering me to listen to your stories. I would love that.
Oh, you're kind. I could not have proceeded without considering you. and here's one of the main reasons why. It's because the day that you had your girls, you called your girls over, and they were playing, and we were at Evergreen at Harper Chin's first birthday party, and you called them over to come lay hands on me and pray for my back. That was so powerful to see mother raising her children to understand at such a young age the power of prayer, the gift of touch, and the urgency and immediate importance of it in the midst of a a birthday party and them playing, you know, to prioritize in the instant for them to come and love through that example. And that was, you know, we were still all getting to know each other at that point. And uh-huh. your smile and just how the power that your girls and the authority that they prayed over me was so reaffirming in what I already believed but don't necessarily see often in terms of parental examples and raising their children. And I just thank you for that.
Thank you.
More often than you're aware of is at the forefront of my observations and my thoughts. And when I see your beautiful smile at church and, you know, when your girls have, you know, I've been able to spend such wonderful time with them, just I'm really thankful. And it's a joy to see what you're doing with them, you and Nathan. And
thank you so much. That encourages my heart so much because, you know, there are many days and I feel like, what are we doing here?
Girl, I'm sure you some of the best days are yet to come.
I'm sure, right?
Oh, but you're doing what you're doing because you're on the right track, and the seeds that you're planting are already producing incredible fruit and gifts, and such a powerful, powerful demonstration of parenthood and of how much you're getting right, you know?
I want to take this opportunity to thank you for pouring into them as well, and for getting to know them individually and getting to know them and pouring into them. I mean, they love spending time with you. They love talking to you. I know that Gabby emails you, and then when Emmy gets my phone, she'll text you. So thank mm-hmm. you for doing that.
Absolutely. It's my joy. It's really, they're my joy. They're my joy. I think too often in life, I'll put it this way. I shared this with a friend recently. I've always tried to have people around me, and not just at a distance, but in close proximity where I can be in their presence and learn from them. And who are two generations above me and at least two generations behind me. Now, the crazy thing about it, I'm sure Helen probably really gets this, you know, as you get older, then the two generations ahead of you are a little bit harder to experience.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, but, and then it becomes not just two, but almost four generations behind, you know. And at every stage, to embrace and consciously have this generational relationship that goes beyond observation, but that's actually intimate. And that's what you allow to happen for me with your girls, because it gives me fresh conversation and perspectives. And I think it also, at least what I see happens for me that doesn't necessarily happen for some of my peers is it keeps from getting a mindset of feeling old and purposeless. You know, that they feel like, everything is past tense. You know, and for so much of their conversation, if not everything, so much of their conversation is past tense. And when their generational interactions are limited to just their generation or our generation, then, man, that's kind of a depressing conversation. It's like, man, let's get out of here. You know, it's like, let me call Leanne's girls up so we can go do something, you know, because
so we can talk about YouTube.
Yeah, seriously, you know, and I think part of it too was when we were homeschooling our own children, and one of the profound lessons that has stayed with me from that period was their ability to interact with people intergenerationally. And that there was a maturity that they had started developing at a younger age where they could interact with comfortably with older people, whether they were older by just a couple years or older by generational years, and they could still be funny and silly and age appropriate with their friends, and then they could interact with little babies and be, you know, comfortable. And I just really thought, well, I wanted to, as a parent, I wanted to continue to nurture that throughout as much of their formative years as I could influence and Mark and I could influence as possible. And then I think I also began to also want to, you know, to internalize that desire so that I could externalize the same ability and appreciation intergenerationally. And that's why it is a joy for me to be with your girls and to get to know the other kids, especially, you know, at Seeds. And I shared a while ago in the summer with Pastor Kyle that, and I think that he must have, here Adam, some they must have listened to me because, you know, you can share things, but you don't necessarily know if people are, you know, what they're thinking in response. But I just really think that, like, just taking the greeters as an example, you know, that greeting is not limited to just the ushers and the greeters that people are first meeting when they arrive at church. You know, the hospitality and the spirit of greeting should be woven into the very fabric of the church from children, the youngest to the oldest, and not just based on committee participation. And that,
right.
And that when, you know, families arrive at church that have younger children, it's a joy for their children to be greeted by someone like Emmy or Hallie or Gabby, you know, as their peers. Because if a child, you know, the parents can have one experience and the children could have a completely different experience and feel unwelcome. And
so
they don't
true.
Feel, they're not going to want to come back, and they're going to kick and scream if their parents, who are so enthusiastic about going, and have no clue why the child may not feel that way. And it starts with the first impression, and that first impression can be children as well as adults. And so I love it, like, when your girls are standing there with me, even if they're talking, you know, you, them and I are just talking, but if I'm near the, even if I'm not near the greeters table, I just automatically include them. Oh, here, write their name tag out. This is Gabby, you know, and engage them. And they do it so graciously, and now they know better. They know that that's what's going to happen, so they're used to it.
Well, that's good, because, you know, for introverts like us, that's a hard thing to do, you know, like, for them, you know. It's hard for them to do it, but I'm glad they're kind of breaking out of their shell.
So do you regard yourselves as introverts?
Well, I think, well, okay, maybe they're just really shy. You know, I'm not sure. Like Nathan is an extrovert, but he's very, but he can be quite reserved, you know, but he's a total extrovert. Like, he loves going to, being around people. I think I'm kind of half-half. I'm not sure about the kids yet.
Yeah. Well, they can be shy and perhaps introverted or, you know, age appropriate shy, but they're friendly and come across as friendly even in their, if they're shy. And I think there is a distinction. You know how some people can be shy and it comes across as adults as aloof? You know.
Yes.
Yeah,
I do.
So I think that they're, I think, like, most people don't know, actually, I'm actually shy, even though I appear extroverted. And I was so shy, shared it in another chapter of this book, I was so incredibly shy that my grandmother, who had five grandchildren, and I was the second from the oldest, would introduce me as her granddaughter, Emmett. And that was through junior high or high school.
What did you say? Her granddaughter what?
Timid. T-I-M-I-D.
Oh, timid. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Wow.
And it wasn't by birth order. She would start by birth order if all of us were around, but she would skip over me, and I'd be the last one. And she goes, and this one there, that's my granddaughter, Timid. And
oh, that is such a shock to me.
Yeah, see what God can do?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I used to be afraid of, not afraid, I was just shy, you know. Public speaking, I was just quiet and I was shy and I was just very reserved. And I think that that's, you know, turned out to be used as, in many ways for good rather than working against me, because it makes me sensitive to and probably even more aware of the quiet people around me. You know, like to go up to the people who are just sitting by themselves. And who are shy, because I see a former part of myself in them, and it's not always the extrovert or the loudest person or the person at the front of the line that gets my attention. It's usually the person near the back of the line or in the middle, or who's sitting quietly or who's not saying very much. And I think that spirit of timidity also within me was a way for me to also learn to hear the voice of God speak to me, have conversations at an early age that were prayers, because adults externally couldn't see or understand what I was feeling inside, but I knew that somehow God who created me did. And so I would ask him to help me not be afraid. You know, I would ask him to give me the speak or to give me the courage to go. And I think that learning at that young age how to turn in my shyness to the Lord also helped in the quietness of myself and the stillness of my own thoughts, of trying to figure it, how to hear him say, okay, I'll be with you. And hear the scriptures, you know, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay. He says, he'll never leave you. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go, 'cause I'm not going alone. You know, I think that my growth externally was a reflection of what he was doing with my growth internally. And so I think I'm also extremely, perhaps to some extent, hypersensitive about making people feel welcomed and comfortable at any place, but especially, you know, at church when they're visiting.
Oh, you're so good at that. I mean, the Lord just works through you. I mean, it's for so many people there. And even just watching you, I'm like, wow, that's so amazing how you do that.
I think it's, those are kind words, but we should say praise God, because that's all him. Because I'm sure without a doubt, my grandmother is just cracking up in heaven at me. You know, like, wow, look at this girl. You know? I'm not timid anymore, you know.
And it's true, Gail, you're always like saying praise God or it's all God. I mean, I just remember, you know, after we went to Gary's event, how was her name, Tiffany, and her boyfriend came to see. And I'm like, wow, how'd you do that? And he said, it's all the Lord. So, you know, I know that you always deflect and give him the glory. So that's amazing.
Oh, I've got to tell you, speaking about Gary's event, before you referenced Tiffany, I thought you were going to reference the one where the taiko drummers were playing. I don't know if I ever shared this with you or not, but, you know, just because we can be friendly to other people doesn't necessarily mean they're going to receive and respond in the same manner. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that's our hope. You know, our probably the private fears for most shy or timid people is a fear of rejection, you know. But, you know, just because we reach out to people with kindness and smile and a outreached arm, not everybody receives it that way. So I don't know if I ever share this with you or not, but this is such a big, joyful celebration between me and the Lord. I've got to share it with you.
Okay.
When I was, began greeting at Seeds, you know, when we first started, not everybody was friendly to me. You know, not everyone would receive me or my gestures of kindness, you know, the way I would I would hope, you know, or anticipate. So because I've now, just as Mark would say, been around the block a few many times and have had enough life experiences where I've experienced that before, I've learned, and it is promptings of the Holy Spirit, so that I don't basically go carnal, it's promptings in the instance of the Holy Spirit where it's just like I would react like, oh, okay, I recognize you, like, from within another person or a previous experience. I'm gonna pray for, okay, Lord, I'll be praying for her, you know, or I'll be praying for him, and they'll have no idea. And I'll just say, Lord, you just show me how to keep loving them and being kind to them. And you just do what you do as I pray for them each time I see them. And so the natural tendency would be, okay, here they come. I'll let somebody else go greet them, you know. The natural tendency would be, uh-oh, here they come. I'll be right back. I have to go to the bathroom, or a natural tendency could have been, here they come. I'm going to act like I don't see them. I'll just kind of turn and start talking to somebody. You know, there's any number of kind of natural behaviors that a person might take in those circumstances. But what the Lord has shown me to do more often than not is, let me go up to them and just keep greeting them the same way.
I'm here.
And just loving them. So there were five people like this. They were not by any stretch of the imagination at all warm and fuzzy toward me. They were actually the extreme opposite. They were stone cold face, like, no handshake out, like, no, like, why are you talking to me, kind of, like, maybe more honestly, like, why are you at this church? Who are you? Why are you? And most people wouldn't know, you know, I'm African-American, and our church is predominantly Asian-American, but it is changing, huh? It's the diversity mix within our church.
I think so, slowly.
Yeah, it is. But, still predominantly Asian American, but our hearts are all the same toward the Lord. That's how we've always been treated and reacted. So anyway, periodically get kind of caught off guard just for a split second when I get that kind of look, which I know what it means because I've addressed it before many times. What is she doing here? Because for some people, churches are cliques and social environments, you know? So anyway, and for others, and especially at Seeds, that's not what Seeds is about, and that's not what the people are about. It is a loving, welcoming church environment, and we're home there, and we're with family there. So, you know, with these five people and these five very different circumstances that were not warm and fuzzy, I was just privately praying, like, okay, Lord, let me go up to her and say good morning again, or, you know, let me, you know, if they're coming my direction and I'm the first person they're going to see, let me treat and greet them and love them the same way they're seeing me do with everyone else. And if they blow me off, then you just keep doing what you do, Lord, with their heart. I'm going to keep praying that whatever it is within their lives that have happened that are causing them to react this way, that you'll fix it, that you'll warm that place, that you'll heal that part of them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll experience a different part of life that'll allow them to let down their guard and to love in a way that a smile can express. Because I wasn't getting
mm-hmm.
any smiles from any of these five people.
Oh, no.
So anyway, nobody knows this except me and God. It was actually probably about 6 months before I even said anything to Mark about it. And it was
mm-hmm.
another year and a half before I told him who they were. I never,
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't for me about them. It was about me nurturing a spirit in nurturing the love of Christ in my heart in a way that even in the midst of unkindness in church, which can be pretty brutal for people coming, you know, when you experience so much out in the world, you're looking for a safe sanctuary, right? You know, where at least they'll be nice at church. And then if they're not, you're kind of like, oh, man, that's messed up. Well, I can get treated like that outside of church, you know?
Yeah.
Do through me whatever he needed me to do and him take care of them, you know, not me feeling
mm-hmm.
like I had anything. So by the time you invited me, when you invited me to that first event with Gary, a couple of significant things happened that night that nobody else would have known about, you didn't know about. And
mm-hmm.
one of them was I had my own event, the Girls Fly event that was coming up, and I was praying about, you know, we try to use drums at as many things that we do within a community whenever we've done things. And I was
mm-hmm.
driving there, I don't know why, just out the blue on the 605 as I was passing the 5 interchange and thinking, man, I think some taiko drummers would be really appropriate. I've got, Lord, show me where and how to find some taiko drummers. I get to the parking lot and I hear taiko drums. I'm like, oh, wow. That was fast, you know. And then I'm thinking as I'm walking in and I'm just smiling because God's answered that one real fast with the taiko drummers. And I'm walking
uh-huh.
in and I'm thinking, and I'm praying like, man, I wonder if, you know, I really should be doing this with Congresswoman Chu or not. I'm not sure. And then I get in and, you know, turns out Congresswoman Chu scheduled on the program that night. Well, that's interesting. Okay. and later on in the evening, actually, her field deputy ends up sitting next to me at the table. And yeah, but great. So it's like, wow, that's two down. Like, but actually,
uh-huh.
by then, it was three down, because when I walked in, at the table where you had seated me were people, lots of people from Seed. And so
yeah.
the habit that Mark have and that we've trained our children to do is when you're at events like that and there's a table, before you sit down or before you get comfortable, I've already seated myself, I get back up. And I go around the table and say hi to everyone and introduce myself to the people that I don't know. Because it actually gets pretty hard to have conversation across the table. But, you
yes.
know, you just kind of just start talking to the people right next to you. So I got up. And so when you show me where I was seated, I saw, you know, all the familiar faces. And one of the people at the table was the last five of the there were still two on the list of five that hadn't warmed up yet. they were, everybody else, the Lord had done some amazing things, and it was, I'm now just praying for the last two people. And I walk in, and there's one of the two seated at the table. And I thought to myself, oh, man, God, you got a sense of humor. Like, I didn't see, like, it wasn't Sunday, so I was not expecting to see this person. And this person in particular, these last two, these were like the ice queens of. And I thought, whoa, okay, well, let me get up and go do what I know I'm supposed to do. And I had to, you know, I hugged the first person, and, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I hugged the second person. Hi, it's so nice to see you. And then she's the next person at the table, and I, hey, like, all right, well, hi, so good to see you. And she smiled at me. And she said, hi, it's so good to see you, Gail. And I was inside, I was like, whoa. Like, I didn't see that coming. And she's smiling and she's holding my hand. And she has, then the next person, you know, same thing. And then I go around. So the rest of the night, I'm like, I really inside, I'm kind of in shock, like, oh, what do I do now? Because, like, how do I engage in conversation with her? Because this is the closest to any acknowledgement I've ever gotten from her. And I'll tell you just how cold it had been before. There had been at least two, there may have been more, but there had been at least two previous occasions when Joyce and I, one time, and then Liz was there a second time, and we're greeting and we're talking to people, and I'm clearly the person that this lady should be coming to get her name tag, and she's talking to someone walking my direction, but then when she realizes it's me, she turns and goes out of her way to another table. And Joyce, you know our girl Joyce, she's so funny. She's like, did she just... I think she did. And I go, yeah, but don't worry about it. Just keep in. And then the second, Liz was like, how come she went over there instead of letting, I said, oh, you know, maybe she knew, you know, I didn't, you know, like, it's okay. And just kept going, you know? So this is really a big deal between me and the Lord. You know, the taiko drummers were great answer, you know, the prayer walking in. Mm-hmm. Seeing Judy Chu, who I needed to get some questions answered yes. from, that was cool on the program. But this was like a big test here, like, oh yeah. boy, like, what do I do with this now? Like, okay, so I'm trying to, you know, I'm engaging in conversation with everybody else. And then there is a part of the program where we could hear each other and we're talking. So not to appear to be keeping her out of the conversation that I'm involved in, I just throw some, like, little small candy her way and see if she'll take it. You know, just ask some small question, like, how about you? How was your week? Or, you know, oh, do you like, you know, something, just to see if I can break the ice a little bit more. And she did. She took the candy and was real sweet about it. And, but, you know, let's not expect too much more after that, you know. So,
yeah.
So anyway, ended up being a wonderful, wonderful night. And I left there so excited because there had been this kind of like this slight breakthrough through with this person. So then later on, not to underestimate the power of prayer. So I get the surprise honor of being able to be up front, available to pray with people, you know, after the sermon if they need prayer. Well, the first time that I went up, you know, I didn't know if anybody would come to me or not. So I just pray for everybody. Like, I just look out on the congregation and I'll see somebody, like your family. I'll pray for you and Nathan. I'll have my eyes closed, as you saw last time.
Like, tap, tap, tap. Sorry to bother you.
Gail, hey. So, yeah, I'm just in my own zone praying. And so I opened my eyes, and this fifth person, and I'm talking, there's some real, you know, some real blatant examples of, oh boy, okay, Lord, just you and me, just show me what you want to do. Oh. And so I open my eyes and I see the fifth person walking toward me to pray with her. And oh. I was like, oh, inside, like, oh, I think she's coming. Oh, maybe she's just going to walk by me to go sit down. You know, or, oh, I think she's coming to me. This person who doesn't normally acknowledge me. And she did want me to pray with her, and I was so touched and honored and I think maybe humbled is the right word, that she would because we never know what other people have been through. We never know what other people are really thinking. And a big part of my prayer with these five people was, Lord, I don't know, but you know. You know, you can heal whatever it is that appears to be coming across in this way, but may have nothing to do with me whatsoever. You know, or, and it couldn't have because I didn't know them, you know. You know, but, you know, I don't know, maybe some black girl took their toy when they were four and they hated black. And I didn't know what it was, or maybe it was something, you know, completely irrelevant to what appears to be on the outside. And my responsibility was to pray for the Lord to heal whatever it was that they were dealing with on the inside, and to guard my heart and mind from thinking that I was there for any other purpose than to be praying for them and loving them. You know, that was why I was there, was to do, you know, to do and be an expression of that, not to make it about me, but to make it about praying and standing in the gap for them. So to be able to pray out of request for this lady with her, and to hear her whisper through her tears some of the pain that she was wanting to be healed of, and some of the anger that she was wanting to be free of, was so consistent with what the Lord had put on my heart a year or more before. As I prayed over her, not knowing anything, but knowing that He knows. And she's now, we greet together now, that particular lady, and she's so warm and fuzzy that I'm still kind of like, wow.
Really?
Yeah. So here, check this out. So the other one from the dinner that night, and I'm sure in your head you're trying to like you're doing these and video rewinds, like, who was at that table?
Who
could it have been? Because this clearly isn't the relationship you have with them, right? So it's probably like, no, it couldn't be her. Like, no, it couldn't be her. Like, who is y'all talking about? Anyway, I'll keep you in suspense. So anyway, recently at the women's luncheon, I end up being at the table with one of these five people. And it was one, you know, who had been, whew, I mean, she could have been in that movie Frozen. So before. And so when I'm sitting, like, I see that that's where I'm seated, I'm like, oh boy. It's like, well, she kind of warmed up before. She is getting, you know, like when she sees me at church, like greeting when she comes in, she's not walking away necessarily to other tables anymore, but it's still not warm and she's cordial. I mean, she's cordial. You know, it's not a complete talk to the hand. You know, she's become more warmer and cordial since that night, like with Gary at Gary's dinner. So I'm sitting, and this table arrangement at the luncheon is more intimate, right? Because it's a smaller table. You're like, you're just right across from you right now. Unless you're at the opposite end of the table, you can't deny that they're right in your face. You know,
No, you cannot.
Like, I don't see you. Like, no, we're here, yeah, and we're going to be here together, yeah, for games and prayer and meal and everything. So let's do it.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
Inside I was praying kind of also because there is this shy part of me that people don't recognize or see often enough,
mm-hmm,
where I'm thinking, man, Lord, okay, do what you need me to do and, you know, just bless this time and help me not take it personally, even though it's up close and personal as this is. Oh, my gosh. We had so much fun together.
Really?
So
fun.
And we bonded around fruit because there was a question, an icebreaker question, around what do you look forward to at this time of the year, something like that, in the fall,
uh-huh,
or what's your
uh-huh
favorite food? And we had this shared fruit in common, and we eat it like crazy people, like ridiculous amounts of it that nobody else in either of our families can comprehend. But the two of us were like on the same page, like, oh my gosh, me too. You do too? Oh my gosh, me too. And it was the silliest, funniest thing. We were laughing so hard. And then when I saw her again the following week, not at church, but a completely different circumstance, we ran into each other. She comes running up to me, her arms are up, hi, Gail, and I run up to her, hi, and we're hugging, and it's like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you, too, and I'm just in the moment, like, looking at her smiling face, holding her hand, and, like, only our God.
That's
only
amazing.
Our God. Amazing grace. Amazing,
yeah,
how
amazing
we... the desires of our heart set on him, even when it's most uncomfortable, even when we're fearful of rejection or we've experienced rejection,
uh-huh,
that if we just give all of it to Jesus and give them and let him do what he sees needs to be done and have the courage not to be timid about praying for others, and praying for others in a way that is an expression of love, not an expression of selfishness, like, Lord, please help them be nice to me so I won't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, that makes it about me, you know,
yeah,
but
right,
it's really this courage to speak up sincerely to God, like, Lord, maybe it has nothing to do with me, and maybe I'm here because no one else is seeing what I'm seeing that will take it to you. So, and if there are others, which I hope there are, that see it and know the details of why they're behaving this way, I'll join them and stand with them in prayer for you to heal those parts of their experiences in life that'll soften them and replace that with joy and with a smile. And all five of those people, you've all actually have seen me with them, and
oh
you would
God,
never know. You would never, and Mark
uh-huh
did not know until I came home after not the luncheon, but the next time when I saw the lady, then I told him. Then, and that was 2 years. That's been 2 years. And I told him, he said, how was the second event,
uh-huh,
you know, where occasion where I, you know, how was that? And I told him, I said, you know, it was so cool, this lady. And he said, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. And I told him, he said, Bay, you're kidding me. And I said, no. He said, is that one of the five from when we first started to going to see? I said, that's one of the ones that walked. He goes, oh, my God. And like, wow, praise God, you know. So I see your daughters, I see you and Nathan, and even if you are legitimately like textbook version of introverted, that's not what people see in your family. You know, they see love and warmth and welcome, even if it's in your with your and with Shane, he's a far cry from introverted. So like just go, well, that little boy right there, that's his sister, and you know, might be one of them might appear shy, but I can call him over and go, Shane, you know, this is so and so, say hi to them, and depending on what I've distracted him from, you know, the greeting might be, hi, I'm Shane, and he'll stretch out his hand and he'll shake it, or it might be, hi, and he just keeps going. But I can always
you never know what that was. Yes.
Oh, I love him. We just never know what people are going through, and one thing I know for sure is that if I need to introduce somebody young or old to someone else, again, at church, particularly who needs prayer or who needs to feel welcomed beyond the greet team, I grab a Peralta.
Mm. You know, I grab, that's so
or
kind.
Gabby or Gabby. And if they need prayer, grab a Peralta.
That's so kind, seriously. Well, thank you for saying that. And that is a great story about the whole Gary event. And then even your fruit thing. Who would have thunk, right? It was so fun.
It was the funniest question. Like, what's your favorite food or something like this time of year? And she and I, and what was so hilarious, what made it really hilarious was that the other two people in our group had no idea what we were talking about. And then they were like, oh, I've seen those. Like, they're kind of flat. And we're like, yeah, what are those tastes? And, like, they kind of have their noses wrinkled. Like,
yeah.
And we're just like, oh, yeah. Like, and both of us, like, rely on people that have trees of these in their backyard, because in a year like this year when they're, you know, they're so prolific, you know, we just like, yeah, bring me a bag or I'll come get a bag. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
you know,
I'm dying to
we,
know, what is it?
It's a Japanese persimmon, akaki. The Japanese
persimmon. I don't know.
Persimmon, yeah, the flat orange ones. And, yeah, I'll eat them like somebody who has no, and she's the same, like, you know, like with Down syndrome, children with Down syndrome, they don't always have the ability to know when they're full or to stop eating.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, she and I are both like that when it comes to this fruit. We just, like, we can have stomach aches, and then we're like, oh, I can't eat another one. And then, you know, Mark will look at me, and he'll like, yeah, imagine not. The bag is gone. There's only two left, and there were at least 30 in there when you started. You know, like, no wonder you have a stomach ache. You know, and so she's like, yeah, me too. I can just sit there and watch a movie, and I'll just have my night. It was just the funniest conversation because we had never met anyone like us before. And here we are. I mean, that really spoke
to
just even greeting, like, we had never met anyone like us before, and yet we did have something in common. And I think that's a part of the faith walk in love with what we, you know, the assumptions that we make externally. And then we learn that, oh my gosh, we have so much in common. Even if it's something simple as a piece of fruit that's more than just a, or it's our faith and the power of prayer in our faith.
That warms my heart and gives me a tickle. I mean, seriously, about the fruit. Just cracks me up.
So we can stop here, Leanne, unless there's a question or something that comes to mind. You want to also, you know, have me share?
Yeah, I mean, I want to go on forever. I want to hear all your stories. I'm sure there are so many more like this. But, yeah, I think I got to go. But I hope we can do this again another time. I loved it, Gail.
Absolutely. We'll schedule another time. I'd appreciate it if we could. Why don't you close us out in prayer?
Okay. Okay, I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
Shane.
Heavenly Father. Yeah, that's Shane. You want to say hi?
Shane, how are you doing? It's Auntie Gail.
It's Auntie Gail.
Hello, it's me, Shane.
Hello, I really hope you get some more of those light-up Spider-Man shoes, man. I miss them.
I know. One of them didn't light up. One of them ran out of light.
Oh, well, I what size shoe do you wear? I'm going to try and find some.
What?
What size shoe do you wear? Okay, I'll have your mom answer the question for me.
I fit a 12. I fit a 12.
Michael Jordan wears a 12. Or maybe he wears a 14. Well, we'll find them. I'm going to look. I love you, Shane.
It's
have
about
a good day.
It's about
what about Caleb?
Size.
Oh,
yeah,
Caleb's
same
size, same
Caleb.
Size. Okay. All right. We'll find out what they are.
He's advocating for his brand.
Yeah. Like, okay. Come and care. You got to get a pair
yeah.
for him and a pair for me.
No, it's true. Those two are... Are always, well, this one is always thinking about Caleb. Can I go to Caleb's house? No, you can't. It's a nice thought.
They're great
no,
to watch.
Cool right now. They're funny. Okay, let me pray for us. Okay, hold on. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time that Gail and I got to talk and to hear about how you work, Lord, and how you move, and sometimes we don't understand. But, Lord, I thank you for the ways that you have moved in Gail's life, Lord. And I pray, God, that as she collects her thoughts for this book, that you would help her to know what things you want her to include, and that... you would help her to figure it out and to carve time out to finish this book the way that you would want her to do it. And I pray, God, that as people read this book, that they would be encouraged, that they would know how real of a God you are. You are personal. You are our Father. You are our friend, Lord. And so I pray, God, that all these things would come out in the book, and that your name would be glorified in all ways. And I pray, Lord, that as Gail has all these projects on her plate, that you would help her to prioritize and to get some things done, to mark it off as accomplished, Lord, to further your kingdom and to encourage and to spread your love, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would send help to her in practical and emotional ways, Lord. And I pray, God, that that you would just bless the work of her hands, Lord, that you would continue to speak to her, that she would hear you and recognize you when you are speaking to her, and that she would be able to tune out the things that are still good, but maybe just not from you. So I pray, God, that you would give Gail strength, that you would gird her, Lord, and that you would give her good health to do the work that you have set upon her heart. And I pray, God, that you would allow her to have the time to nurture the relationships that you have given to her, Lord. There are so many with all the people that she's developed friendships with, and even with her own family members. I pray, God, that you would strengthen her and protect her. I pray, God, for her marriage with Mark, that you would just guard and protect that as well, and that you would... be at the center of their marriage, Lord, and that you would protect them spiritually. Lord, we love them. There's so many that look to them, and I pray, God, that you would give them you would give them strength to minister and strength to do the work that you have placed on their hearts. So thank you, Lord, for Gail, for her life, for Mark's life, for the way that they love on so many of us at Seeds, Lord. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mom, life on the tablet.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Gail.
Mom, life on the tablet.
This was fun. Yeah, let me know whenever you have more time. I'd love to hear.
Well, that'd be great. So it's early morning is good for you then?
I think that on certain days, you know, when we're like at home and we don't have anywhere to go, early morning is good.
Okay, is 7:30 the best time or?
I think 7:30, 8 is good.
Okay, all right. I'll send you a text or email with some other date and time options, okay?
Okay, all right. Love you, Gail. Thank you.
All right. Love you too. Bye-bye. Hug the girl.
Bye.